The following are selected sonnets on art and the artist by Michelangelo. Presented by ListenToGenius.com, narrated by Ralph Cosham. The Artist. Nothing the greatest can conceive that every marble block does not confine within itself, and only its design the hand that follows intellect can achieve. The ill I flee, the good that I believe, in thee, fair lady, lofty and divine, thus hidden lie. And so that death be mine, art of desired success doth me bereave. Love is not guilty then, nor thy fair face, nor fortune, cruelty, nor great disdain of my disgrace, nor chance, nor destiny, if in thy heart both death and love find place at the same time, and if my humble brain, burning, can nothing draw but death from thee. On the Painting of the Sistine Chapel. I've grown a goiter by dwelling in this den, as cats from stagnant streams in Lombardy, or in what other land they hap to be, which drives the belly close beneath the chin. My beard turns up to heaven, my nape falls in, fixed on my spine, my breastbone visibly grows like a harp, a rich embroidery bedews my face from brush drops thick and thin. My loins into my paunch like levers grind. My buttock like a crupper bears my weight. My feet, unguided, wander to and fro. In front my skin grows loose and long. Behind, by bending, it becomes more taut and straight. Crosswise I strain me like a Syrian bow. Whence false and quaint, I know, must be the fruit of squinting brain and eye, for ill can aim the gun that bends awry. Come then, Giovanni, try to succour my dead pictures and my fame, since foul I fare, and painting is my shame. The Model and the Statue. When divine art conceives a form and face, she bids the craftsman, for his first essay, to shape a simple model in mere clay. This is the earliest birth of art's embrace. From the live marble, in the second place, his mallet brings into the light of day a thing so beautiful that who can say when time shall conquer that immortal grace? Thus my own model I was born to be, the model of that nobler self whereto, schooled by your pity, lady, I shall grow. Each overplus and each deficiency you will make good. What penance then is due for my fierce heat, chastened and taught by you? Second Reading, The Model and the Statue. When that which is divine in us doth try to shape a face, both brain and hand unite to give, from a mere model frail and slight, life to the stone by art's free energy. Thus, too, before the painter dares to ply paintbrush or canvas, he is wont to write sketches on scraps of paper, and invite wise minds to judge his figured history. So, born a model rude and mean to be of my poor self, I gain a nobler birth, lady, from you, you fountain of all worth. Each overplus and each deficiency you will make good. What penance then is due for my fierce heat, chastened and taught by you? The Lover and the Sculptor. The best of artists hath no thought to show which the rough stone in its superfluous shell doth not include. To break the marble spell is all the hand that serves the brain can do. The ill I shun, the good I seek, even so in thee, fair lady, proud, ineffable, lies hidden. But the art I wield so well works adverse to my wish and lays me low. Therefore not love, nor thy transcendent face, nor cruelty, nor fortune, nor disdain cause my mischance, nor fate, nor destiny. Since in thy heart thou carriest death and grace enclosed together, and my worthless brain can draw forth only death to feed on me. Love and Art. As pen and ink alike serve him who sings in high or low or intermediate style, as the same stone hath shapes both rich and vile to match the fancies that each master brings, so, my loved Lord, within thy bosom springs pride mixed with meekness, and kind thoughts that smile. Whence I draw naught, my sad self, to beguile, but what my face shows, dark imaginings. He who foreseed so sorrow, tears, and sighs, The dews that fall from heaven, though pure and clear, from different germs take diverse qualities, must needs reap grief and garner weeping eyes. And he who looks on beauty with sad cheer gains doubtful hope and certain miseries. The Artist and His Work. How can that be, lady, which all men learn by long experience? Shapes that seem alive, wrought in hard mountain marble, will survive their maker, whom the years to dust return. Thus to effect cause yields. Art hath her turn, and triumphs over nature. I, who strive with sculpture, know this well. Her wonders live in spite of time and death, those tyrants stern. So I can give long life to both of us in either way, by colour or by stone, making the semblance of thy face and mine. Centuries hence, when both are buried, thus thy beauty and my sadness shall be shown, and men shall say, for her 'twas wise to pine. Beauty and the Artist. A heart of flaming sulphur, flesh of tow, bones of dry wood, a soul without a guide to curb the fiery will, the ruffling pride of fierce desires that from the passions flow. A sightless mind that weak and lame doth go, mid snares and pitfalls scattered far and wide. What wonder if the first chance brand applied to fuel massed like this should make it glow? Add beauteous art, which, brought with us from heaven, will conquer nature. So divine a power belongs to him who strives with every nerve. If I was made for art, from childhood given a prey for burning beauty to devour, I blame the mistress I was born to serve. Flesh and Spirit. Well may these eyes of mine, both near and far, behold the beams that from thy beauty flow. But, lady, feet must halt where sight may go. We see, but cannot climb to clasp a star. The pure ethereal soul surmounts that bar of flesh, and soars to where thy splendours glow, free through the eyes, while prisoned here below, though fired with fervent love, our bodies are. Clogged with mortality and wingless, we cannot pursue an angel in her flight, only to gaze exhausts our utmost might. Yet, if but heaven, like earth, incline to thee, let my whole body be one eye to see, that not one part of me may miss thy sight. The Doom of Beauty. Choice soul, in whom, as in a glass, we see mirrored in thy pure form and delicate, what beauties heaven and nature can create, the paragon of all their works to be. Fair soul, in whom love, pity, piety have found a home, as from thy outward state we clearly read, and are so rare and great that they adorn none other like to thee. Love takes me captive, beauty binds my soul. Pity and mercy with their gentle eyes wake in my heart a hope that cannot cheat. What law, what destiny, what fell control, what cruelty, or late or soon, denies that death should spare perfection so complete? Blessed Spirit. Blessed Spirit, who with loving tenderness quickenest my heart, so old and near to die, who, mid thy joys on me dost bend an eye, though many nobler men around thee press, as thou wert erewhile my sight to bless, so to console my mind thou now dost fly. Hope, therefore, stills the pangs of memory, which, coupled with desire, my soul distress. So finding grace in thee to plead for me, he who now writes to thee does give thee thanks. Not worthy is my art to send to thee, in return for thy kind thoughts, and thy fair spirit's living fantasies. Choice soul. Choice soul, in which, as in a glass, we see in thy pure form and delicate what beauties heaven and nature can create, the paragon of all their works to be. Fair soul, in whom love, pity, piety have found a home, as from thy outward state we clearly read, and are so rare and great that they adorn none other like to thee. And love for thee holds my captivity, beauty binds my soul to thine own, thy gentle eyes of mercy wake my hope. What law, What destiny, what cruelty denies that death should spare perfection so complete? Choice soul, in thee as in a glass we see beauty bind my soul to thine own. This is Ralph Cosham for ListenToGenius.com. Thank you for listening. This audio program is copyrighted by Redwood Audiobooks. Permission is granted to download for personal use only, not for distribution or commercial use.